The lesson I have planned for this evening lends itself to tilting a little bit toward our younger people. And we have more young people here tonight than usual. And so I want to do that and tilt it just a little bit from what I had originally planned for tonight. And in order to do that and to set the stage, I want to remind you, and those of you that are visiting mentioned to you, a statement that I used in a lesson back in January, toward the 1st of January, when we began the series of lessons on Sunday morning on animals. We had two lessons on farm language. And one of the statements that I shared with you that I had learned on the farm, and boys and girls, I want you to remember this statement if you don't remember anything else tonight. It's not how fast you can run or how high you can climb, but how well you can bounce. We learn from that life has its ups and downs, that we face problems sometimes, and really the outcome is dependent on how well we can bounce. So it's not how fast you can run or how high you can climb, but how well you can bounce. Now also to help us to set the stage for the lesson tonight, I want you to sing two songs with me. And I want not only the young people, but those in your second childhood also. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Sing, little ones to him belong, they are weak but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Now one to that same tune. Jesus called them one by one, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, Philip and Bartholomew, doubting Thomas and Matthew. Yes, Jesus called them. Yes, Jesus called them. Yes, Jesus called them. The Bible tells me so. James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, also Thaddeus, the 12 apostles Judas made, Jesus was by him betrayed. Yes, Jesus called them. Yes, Jesus called them. Yes, Jesus called them. The Bible tells me so. We just sang the list that's given in Matthew 10, 2 through 4. Now, you younger ones won't get this point, but you older ones will. You remember the four numbers that for many years were on the front of a Dr. Pepper bottle? 10, 2, and 4. That's how you remember where the apostles are listed in Matthew. Matthew 10, 2 through 4. And all of you can remember that, even if you don't remember that bottle looking like that. Our lesson, as announced this morning, is alike but different, dealing with two apostles. We are in a series on Sunday night of gaining lessons from Bible characters. We've been doing this since the first of the year, and I anticipate going at least through June. Two apostles that were alike but different. I want you to, in your mind, think of a picture of the 12 apostles. You've seen the picture of the Last Supper, haven't you? Now, that's an artist's conception. We don't know what Jesus looked like. We don't know what the apostles looked like. But that'll give you an idea of Jesus and the 12 apostles. Let's just suppose that those were lined up in that picture according to the way they're listed here in the Bible. Some of the lists may vary a little bit, but there is no variation in the first and the last apostle that's listed. When we started singing, the first apostle we mentioned was Peter, right? And the last one we mentioned was Judas Iscariot. And I don't know that I have ever heard anybody list the 12 apostles without putting Peter's name first and Judas' name last. Those are the two apostles that we're talking about tonight. And I want to show you that in every way but one basic way, they were alike. And there is one basic difference between Peter and Judas. If you and I were going to list the 10 most outstanding men in the New Testament, or even the 5 most outstanding men, I'm pretty sure that Peter would be in those 5. If we were going to list 5 of the worst men talked about in the New Testament, I'm rather sure that Judas Iscariot would be in that list. And yet I just made the statement that I believe they are exactly alike in general terms, except in one way. Let me show you what I mean by that. In Matthew 10, where we have the list of the apostles in 2 through 4, verse 1 says, "When he had called his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." After he lists the apostles, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead." Now, how many of the 12 apostles were given those responsibilities? All 12 of them. Peter was involved in power against unclean spirits. He was involved in casting them out. He was involved in healing the sick, all manner of disease. He was involved in preaching, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But so was Judas. Judas was involved in all of these things too. In fact, it is said in Acts, the first chapter, in verse 7, where Judas is, or 17, where Judas is mentioned in verse 16, and this is said about him, "For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry." Now, this is the occasion where they were selecting someone to take Judas' place after he had died. But in reference to him, notice it says he was numbered with us. He was a part of the apostles, Judas, and had obtained part of this ministry. I suggest to you that the Bible clearly teaches that all 12 of these apostles were involved in the mission that Jesus had when he sent them out. Peter was involved. Judas was involved. And there is nothing said in this list of Matthew 10 or Mark 3, where it's given again, that indicates that any one of them was more important than any other one. Now, you and I, as we look back today, would certainly say Peter became one of the most important ones for what he did. And there are occasions, more than one of them, where Jesus selected 3 of them, Peter, James, and John, to go with him to the Transfiguration and to go a little farther with him in the Garden of Gethsemane, for example. And there seems to have been special things that some of them could do, and you would expect that if you had 12 men together. But as far as their basic work, their basic mission, and their basic challenge and charge, Judas was just as much a part of the apostles as was Peter. In the second place, Jesus predicted that both of them would fall. In the 13th chapter of John, at verse 21, "When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. They began to ask which one. Verse 26, Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, And that's the way we would in some of our foods even dip something into a gravy or a sauce. When he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Now notice that. After the sop, Satan entered into him. In other words, he really changed his attitude to be something different from what he was. Then said Jesus unto him, "That thou doest, do quickly." In Matthew 26 and verse 25, "Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said." Very clearly, Jesus predicted that Judas was going to betray him and make mistakes and fall. But notice this also. In Matthew, the 26th chapter, where we just read that he predicted Judas would fall a little later, Peter answered in verse 33 and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And you probably remember that in one of the versions, "Before the cock crows twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." Jesus predicted that Judas would betray him. But he also predicted that Peter would deny him. Jesus knew ahead of time and made the prediction that each one of them would fall. The Bible clearly teaches that each one of them did sin. Each one of them did fall. In Acts, the first chapter and verse 25, we find reference being made again to Judas here, where they again are in the process of selecting Matthias to take his place. When they were talking about selecting Matthias, they said that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his place. So there is the statement that Judas fell, and we read just a moment ago where Satan entered into him after he had dipped the sop. Again, in Matthew, the 26th chapter, this time with Peter, Peter sat without the palace, verse 69. This is after Jesus has been arrested. The damsel came unto him, saying, "Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee." He denied before them all, saying, I don't know what you're saying. I know not what thou sayest. When he'd gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were with him, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." And again, he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, "Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. You sound like one who's from the area where Jesus was." Then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I know not the man." And immediately the cock or the rooster crew. Now let me ask you something, boys and girls. Who did more wrong? Who was worse in what he did, Judas or Peter? I think we would almost immediately, if we're not careful, say, well, Judas was. But was he? Was it any worse to sell Judas for 30 pieces of silver and place that deceitful kiss on him to identify him? And as we've read from these passages, betray him than to deny him? And even deny him three times, and even curse and swear when he was denying him. Both of them served as a part of the work of the apostles. Both of them had Jesus predict that they would fall, and both of them failed. There's another way in which they are alike. Both of them repented. Yes, the Bible says they did. In Matthew, the 27th chapter, verses 3, 4, and 5, "Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders." Not only repented, and repentance is that which takes place in the mind that usually results in action, if it's true repentance. But the repentance is the attitude change. He repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, and even admitted, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Judas repented. He admitted to himself and out loud that he had betrayed an innocent man. And he even brought the pieces of silver back up just a few verses into the 26th chapter. We read through verse 74. Look at verse 75. Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. The word repentance is not used there, but repentance worketh godly sorrow, Paul said to Timothy. And so this evidence of Peter weeping when he really realized what he had done, and in another occasion says he saw Jesus looking at him, that probably called to his attention what Jesus had said. He went out and wept bitterly. Now, so far, I suggest to you that Peter and Judas are exactly alike. They both were selected. They both were a part of the mission. They're both called apostles. They both had the ability to be involved with that mission of healing the sick and casting out demons and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. They both had Jesus predict to them earlier that they would fall. And they both failed. And after they had made mistakes, they both repented. But here's the difference. Judas stayed down, and Peter got up and went on to do what was right. Remember that little statement I made at the first of the lesson tonight? It's not how fast you run and how high you climb, but how well you bounce. Peter bounced back up. And just a few verses after it talks about the apostles in chapter 1, in chapter 2 of the book of Acts, we find Peter with the rest of the apostles preaching on Pentecost, and it was Peter's sermon that was recorded. It was Peter who answered the question when asked, what shall we do? And told men what they needed to do on that occasion to become Christians and have their sins remitted and have the opportunity of salvation. And a little later on, perhaps 8 years later, it was Peter who was called by Cornelius and had a vision from God to show him that he should answer that call to go and teach the household of Cornelius and give the Gentiles an opportunity to come into the kingdom. Fulfilling what Jesus had said, I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. The keys opened the door, and it was Peter who was able to open the door first to the Jews and open the door first to the Gentiles. And history suggests, this is not in the Bible, that Peter became so humble that when he was put to death by crucifixion, that he requested to be crucified upside down, so he would not be crucified in the same position as his Lord. I suggest to you that there may have never been a man that bounced any farther back than Peter did. Denied Christ 3 times, just as bad as Judas. Denied the Lord, Judas betrayed him. Peter even cursed and swore and took an oath, and saying, I don't even know him. He bounced all the way back to be one of the greatest gospel preachers that ever lived. Judas had everything that Peter had. And when we recognize the teaching of the Bible concerning personal choices in any matter, and that God doesn't want anybody to perish but come to repentance and to obedience, Judas had the same opportunity to have completely turned his life around if he had wanted to. God didn't force him to die. God didn't force him to commit suicide. God didn't force Satan into his heart. He, by transgression, failed. Transgression is a violation of the law. Judas made that decision to betray Christ, just like Peter made the decision to deny Christ. And then Peter made the decision to bounce back and become that great gospel preacher, and Judas made the decision to just get rid of all of it, he thought, and just take his own life. And so he went out and hanged himself. And because of that one difference, although all these other things are alike, we remember Peter as a great gospel preacher, and we remember Judas as the one who betrayed him. When we sang that song, we said, "And Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him." When we read the list of apostles, Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. That's why he's remembered. Although he was involved in the 3.5 years of personal ministry with Jesus, even kept the money, which may have some good points and bad, but the only difference is that Peter bounced back and Judas didn't. Now this lesson is important in many ways, but the greatest importance is for you and me to apply it to ourselves. I think in what I said a moment ago about Judas, that I was saying that there is no sin that you and I can commit, but that God is willing to forgive us if we will repent and turn back to Him completely. And I'm aware that the Bible says there's no forgiveness for blasphemy against the Spirit, and I'm aware that there's no forgiveness for the sin unto death. But I'm convinced when you put all of that together, that the bottom line of all of that is a person's heart becomes so hardened that he will not pay attention to that which is brought by the Spirit, and his rejection of it is a blasphemy, and he never gets out of that sin and continues it until his death, which is evident with Judas. The only difference in the two is that Peter bounced back and Judas didn't. Now, boys and girls, you're going to make mistakes. There's not a one of us who is perfect. We all make mistakes. But the question is, are we willing to get up and correct them and go on? It's one of the most important lessons that you boys and girls will learn, whatever age you are today. When you make a mistake, have the attitude that I want to correct it as much as I can. Even Judas corrected the money part. He brought it back. But also determined that I'm going to learn by my mistakes, and I'm going to bounce back, and I'm going to accept God's forgiveness, and I'm going on. I don't care how low you go, you can bounce back with the power of the blood of Christ, the forgiveness that's in that blood, and the love of God that makes all of it possible. Again, I say to you, Peter and Judas were exactly alike in principle in everything except Peter bounced back and Judas didn't. Maybe you need to be selected as a disciple of Jesus tonight by obeying Him. You see, He called them to be His special disciples, apostles. He calls all of us to be disciples by becoming Christians and living for Him. And if you understand the need as a believer in Christ to be baptized for the remission of sins, you need to become a disciple of Jesus tonight. And if you're already a disciple, remember every day that you live that the important thing is how you bounce back. We're going to make mistakes. We ought to try to avoid them if we can, but we're going to make some. And when we do, let's bounce back like Peter, ask for forgiveness, and then live the rest of our lives to the best of our ability to serve God. If either of these is your need,